You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call him every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And yes, it is. It's Friday. The Friday right before Memorial Day. We've got all the trimmings on this Friday. We've got Mets conversation and Yankees conversation and Aaron Boone getting tossed from a game once again. Oh, and by the way, we have the morning roast. Oh, and by the way, we will enter two people into the big sweepstakes to have a chance to win Rick's gorgeous Ford Bronco. And this portion of the show, driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford Group, in the Northeast, huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. Rick, good morning to you as we get ready for Memorial Day weekend.
Good morning, David. Speaking of the gorgeous, and I mean gorgeous, brand new Ford Bronco that I'm just babysitting right now. For the first time since getting it on, what did I get it on, Tuesday? I got the good old-fashioned...
You got a ticket.
No, Ford Bronco Wave. Sitting at a light, waiting to turn left.
What is it? What does that mean?
Oh, well, I guess there's this, like, you know, if you drive a Jeep or like you drive a motorcycle, someone drives by, they give you like the wave and you got to wave back.
No, I've never had a Jeep, but I've never
had a
motorcycle.
There's a Bronco Wave? Hang on.
There's a Bronco Wave.
This is
I didn't know. I was caught off guard. I got the wave. Guy rolled his window down and waved.
Why? Wow. Why? Okay. Did he have tinted windows?
I don't know if he had tinted windows. Maybe
he
just had his window
down. Well, then why on earth would he roll down the window to wave?
The window was down. I don't know. I didn't have my windows down.
I think the window was already down.
It must have been. It was like the Willie Mays Hayes. You know, Willie Mays Hayes rolls into camp and he comes with his hand out the window?
Yeah, but I'm confused by this. If the window was down already and he waved, fine. You just said he rolled down the window to wave, and that would be very bizarre in a see-through window.
Well, I assume that he rolled the window down because I didn't have my window down. It didn't feel nice enough to have the window down.
Now,
but
when he started waving at you, did you roll your window down or press the button so the window goes down so you could re-wave to him or say something to this man?
No, I didn't know. No, I waved. I put the hand up, but I had no idea that there was a Bronco Wave, so I didn't know.
Well, how do you know it's a Bronco Wave? I mean, in actuality, he could have just waved. He saw the beautiful car, waved. He saw, oh, my God. That's the man that was the number one pick in the entire NHL draft. Let me give him a wave. Wait a minute. Does that man take money from others? That could have been the wave. You don't know why he waved.
Bad guy.
That terrible guy.
Bad
no,
guy.
It was a Bronco wave.
How
you
do you know?
Get it.
How do you know?
But you wouldn't get it.
I wouldn't get it because I don't have a Bronco because All-American Ford doesn't set me up with a gorgeous new Bronco. That's right.
Yeah, it was the Bronco wave. I stand by it. And now I'm just saying now I know that there's a Bronco wave because I knew about the motorcycle wave. Got to give like the hand down a little wave. Hey, what's up?
What's the motorcycle wave?
There's a motorcycle wave.
If you're on a bike,
drive by.
You're on a bike.
Yep.
You know this, right?
Yes.
You know that there's a motorcycle wave.
I'm well aware that there's a motorcycle wave. I drive a Jeep, so I'm well aware that there's a Jeep wave. I didn't know there was a Bronco wave.
Yep,
so
Bronco wave.
That's interesting.
Raymond rides hogs.
Excuse me?
He's a motorcycle guy.
This is not my purview. And I don't mean to get too deep into the woods here, but I just got a text from a buddy of mine. He says, Fugazi wave. It's a Jeep thing, not a Bronco thing.
It is a Jeep thing.
Stay in your lane, Rick.
Shocking.
No, I understand it's a Jeep thing. And I was with my niece who said, oh, hey, that's a Jeep thing. Must be a Bronco thing.
It feels elitist.
Well, maybe because Bronco is... No, it's not elitist.
It feels
a Jeep elitist?
I mean, listen, I don't know. I mean, the fact that it's like, oh, you're driving a Jeep, I'm driving a Jeep, let me wave to you. It's weird. You know what? I don't know that I'll ever buy a Jeep because of that. I don't want randos waving at me on the streets.
No, Raymond does it. Raymond drives a Jeep.
It's a sense of camaraderie.
Yeah, like we love outdoor adventures. We drive Jeeps.
Raymond. So, Ray, when you pull up to another Jeep and you start waving?
No, that's not how it works.
What do you mean?
If you just drive past, you're just supposed to, like, you know, raise your hand, actually raise a couple fingers if you're on the steering wheel, and that's it. It's just a very, very quick acknowledgement, and you go about your day.
By the way, Rick, today's the anniversary of a very special moment on the show.
I can't wait for it.
Today. It's Memorial Day, guys. Listen, the saying is, some gave all, some gave all, obviously.
Yeah, that's, if you remember back to the olden times, that's the very famous saying. Some gave all, obviously.
The olden times of last year.
Well, I'm just saying, if you remember back to, like, the Civil War and, you know, World War One, World War Two. It was always some gave all, and some gave all, obviously.
I'll try to do better on Monday, since I'll be here.
Braveheart would have had a completely different ending if Raymond was William Wallace.
Right?
Remember, guys, fight hard because some gave all.
And some are about to give all again.
Obviously.
Obviously. Now go get them. And let me send you off with a Bronco wave. You go get them, guys.
You got to do the head thing. Obviously.
Obviously.
Who wants
Ray,
a free
refill? You really are.
Who wants a free refill?
Yeah. Obviously. 1-800-919-3776. So
no refills. Oh.
you quit on that so hard.
Oh my god. It's even worse now.
You quit on it so hard, right? You couldn't have just said, you know what? I'm gonna
I feel
I
like that would have been
it.
Worse, no?
No, no I don't worse. Have it, but like, you know what? I'm gonna
that's
own
more
it.
Of a quit.
It was a big time quit. All right. So what do you want to do? You want to start with the good or you want to start with the bad?
I think we start with, I mean, listen, you were nervous going into yesterday's game for reason?
How could you not be?
Well, we all were. I mean, we lost the first two of the series, and we didn't love the idea that now chances to get swept and you have, come here, my little cookie, on the mound.
Right.
But he was great.
He was good.
I mean, once you get him out of the first inning.
Come here, little cookie.
And they scored runs, which is nice.
And they scored a first run inning for the second time in the last 18 games.
All right, clip that, please.
Why?
A first run inning?
A first inning run.
So, yes.
Damn it. You know what I meant. You know what I meant.
That goes with a three-game hit.
Yo, homered, first ever three-game hit as a Met.
Or five row.
So let's start with the Mets then. I mean, that's a delightful win. It's a tidy win. Alonso with another home run. Just, you know, Carrasco was good. Didn't have to burn the bullpen. You go into now a series where you start with Scherzer and Verlander. I know you lost two or three, but at least, thankfully, you ended on a very high note last night.
No, that's exactly what they needed. Listen, first two games didn't go the way that you wanted them to go, and Carrasco is somebody that we have questions about, and he showed up in a big way. Like I said, I mean, if you look at some of his splits, he gets past the first inning. Like, he struggles in the first inning, but once he settled in, gave up another run, a home run in the first inning, to go 6 2/3 to protect the bullpen. Listen, at this point of the season, like at this point of where we're at with the pitching staff, he's important.
Very important.
If he can figure it out.
And he doesn't have to be great. Just be decent. And again, you talked about it yesterday on the show, how many quality starts they have on the season. He gave you a big-time quality start last night.
Yeah, this team, if they have their starting pitcher go six-plus innings, which hasn't happened a lot, they win games. I'm not sure they've lost the game when that happens. But, yeah, like the team is built to have really good starting pitching. And you're right. It doesn't have to be – Carrasco doesn't have to be great. Just give yourself a – just give the team a chance.
That's exactly right. Here is Buck Showalter, who says he's encouraged by Carrasco's performance last
command and the – you know, you can see it in his body language and everything. He felt good about himself physically. I thought he did last time. That's why he was so frustrated. So that was good to see. We all know what he could mean to us and has last year. So to get that contributing like we know he can would mean a lot to our pitching staff.
Huge. Because let's be fair, you don't love the pitching staff right now. You love Verlander. You're concerned, maybe optimistic, but you're concerned, I think, about Scherzer. Senga is a guy that walks the ballpark. I mean, that's got to calm itself down. McGill, you don't like whatsoever. And then if Carrasco's not good, you don't love your staff at all. If he's decent to good, you're in much better shape.
Yeah, absolutely. But you don't love your staff. And on top of that, when you don't love your staff and you're not getting any length from your starters and your bullpen is good, not elite, like the depth of the Mets bullpen is not great. It's not the Yankees bullpen. Right? Like Robertson's good. You like Drew Smith, Ottavino.
I don't love Ottavino, but okay, I get
so
your
that,
point.
Okay, so I'm eliminating one from that. I'm just saying, like, if that's going to be an issue where you don't get length from your starting pitching,
you're right,
it'll start exposing your bullpen, which you don't want. And I think what you saw in the third inning was kind of a lot of what you saw last year. This is not a team outside of Pete, who you mentioned, 19th home run of the season. Like, the man was built to hit home runs. That third inning where they string together four straight two-out hits, score three runs, like, that's the offense that you saw last year, but it's not easy to do that, to string together four hits like that. You load the bases in the first, you end up only scoring one run, right? Brett Beatty had a nice night. The whole Daniel Vogelbeck thing, to the point where it's not just us, okay? So here's the thing.
I saw this tweet.
Yeah, so it's easy as a fan or someone that hasn't played, right? I think that's part of the disconnect between athletes and fans sometimes. You guys don't get it. Like J.J. Redick said it to Stephen A. Smith on Stephen A. Smith's show, by the way. You wouldn't get it, Stephen. You never played. Like, that's usually, like, if you get an athlete angry enough, that'll be the retort is, you don't get it, you never played.
Which I think can be a ridiculous thing to say.
Awful. Awful. That's just because you
So then how many people really in the grand scheme of things can talk about sports then?
Well, that's right. So, but that's like, if you get someone, you know, if you get an athlete really angry and they really have nothing left in the chamber, that's what they'll use. That's like the trump card. Jose Reyes with a tweet last night. I'm not sure if Vogie understands this concept, but you have to swing the bat to hit the ball.
Right. With the emoji of like the hand over the face.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, he's not wrong. I'm telling you. When they come back to Citi Field, I don't understand why they keep playing him.
That's what I don't get. I keep telling you that. I don't understand. Usually in situations like this, there has to be some kind of alter. When the player's not playing well and you don't have, this is not a guy you drafted. This is not a guy that's been here or that you've won with. This was a guy that you picked up at the deadline last year that wasn't good when you picked him up at the deadline and didn't help you make a run through the playoffs or anything. So there's no, I mean, why is there this incentive or this push to play this guy?
I have no idea. And it's not like what does he add? Really? Like,
nothing.
Take a step back. You're a fan of another team. You don't even like the Mets. What? He doesn't hit for power at all. I mean, I guess he has a good eye, but are you going to play the guy every single day when you might have better options because there's a player that has a good eye?
Well, no, he's got a good eye, but he can't run.
He can't run. He doesn't hit for power. He doesn't hit for average now.
Doesn't play defense. Yeah. I mean, we've gone over this.
I don't understand why there's this major allegiance to him.
But I'm telling you, that I don't get it. So it's either, and I can't imagine it's Buck just loves the guy or loves the fact that he's got a good eye and doesn't swing the bat. Like, I don't get that, or he doesn't want to play a young player.
What do you love about him? I love the fact he doesn't swing the bat.
He doesn't swing the bat. Like, the only thing that makes sense is that Billy Epler traded for him. And that's why he's playing.
That's what bad managers do. And I don't mean Buck. I mean like bad managers on any level. You make a mistake, instead of cutting ties or admitting, listen, I messed up. I made a mistake. I'm not going to run it back just because I made this mistake. You know, just because it was me that made the mistake, you move on.
Yeah, that would make the most sense, especially if you have a young kid sitting on the bench that was absolutely tearing the cover off the ball in AAA. Like, Vientos needs to be down playing every day or up here playing regularly.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, if you had a business and you had an employee that just wasn't good, would you just roll him out there every day because you spent the time to hire him and bring him in and you personally brought him in? Or would you say, you know what, let me cut ties, let me move on, give him very minimal work, and let me bring someone in who's better? Or you know, in actuality, you have someone ready to go who might be better.
Well, I think that's a different, that's not the right question to ask, though. It would be if I managed the place and my boss hired the person. And then the boss was putting pressure on me to let the guy work because he brought him in.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I'm right with this, but I would think a lot of teams that could be legitimate, and maybe it is with the Mets too. I gotta think that Buck has enough authority he can say I'm not playing this guy anymore.
Okay, but why? So what is it then?
I don't know. I can't
so
sit here
Buck
and put
doesn't
my finger
see what
on
we
it.
See. So Buck has a blind spot for Daniel Vogelbach?
I don't know.
Like, he's going to get it. He's going to figure it out.
Yeah, at some point, why would you anticipate this is going to change?
I don't know why. You haven't, I mean, we went through his numbers in May. I mean, he was about 188 in May.
And it's not getting any better.
No, but it hasn't. It hasn't gotten any better since you picked him up at the deadline last year.
No, nor is it going to.
And no one was excited about it.
Nor is it going to. I'm at the point, I was thinking about this last night, I'm not going to freak out now. I will only freak out if it happens. And it can't happen. Like, I don't believe this can happen, which is sending down Alvarez. He's on base a ton. To have that guy hitting in the nine spot is a tremendous luxury. He's getting better and better and better. You know the pitchers love him. His teammates love him. I'm not even going to have this moment where before it happens I get upset. It can't happen. There's no way. And if it does, I will freak out. But I just don't believe there's any chance that they move on from him.
No, I think the reason why the conversation started was because, no, you saw Nito last night, and Narvaez is on his way back. So, I mean, the only one that has options that you won't lose is Alvarez, but I'm with you. I think every Mets fan feels the same way about that. Like, at least with Alvarez, too, you have the ability. I mean, once you feel comfortable with where he's at, right? Like, because, I mean, why Volpe was in the ninth spot or why Alvarez is in the ninth spot, because you don't want to put too much pressure on the kid. Just go out there and play. You know, whatever you bring to the table is a little extra. We'll be happy if you can contribute. Like, he has the ability, man. I mean, as he progresses here, like, to move him up that lineup.
Oh, yeah, I don't see him hitting ninth for long. No, that's absolutely true. All right,
yeah,
so
but
let's
the other
do
two
this.
Don't. I mean, what like offensively, what's the upside for the other two?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I mean, it could be nice. We'll see. I mean, it's exciting times.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere. Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Lou in Manalapan.
Gonna miss you guys on June 1. I can't get there.
Oh, come on.
I have a bachelor party flying out on Wednesday. I'm going to Austin, Texas, man.
That's a great city.
All right, you gotta go.
I was almost in Austin. Did you know that?
It would have been perfect for you, too. Their whole motto is stay weird.
I'm not weird. Quirky, maybe. I'm not weird.
Well, however you want to find it.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg. On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, little Taylor Swift, little T Swift. Rick, you going this weekend?
No, I am not.
I'm surprised by that. I think you're a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm a fan. I'm not big enough to go all the way to MetLife to see her.
Your daughter wouldn't want to go?
Well, no, she doesn't really know. She's not a big Taylor Swift fan, no.
No?
Not yet. I mean, maybe she becomes a big Taylor Swift fan, but
isn't
she's not
Kay
right now.
Going at some point?
Yeah, he's taking Callie.
So that's nice.
It's very nice, but I think Callie is a Taylor Swift fan.
I heard Brian her Dable's shows going. Are unbelievable.
Yeah, I watched some of the video of that one in
Boston,
Foxborough in the rain.
Like the 3.5 hour she played in the pouring rain. Good for her.
Yeah, that's really good for her. I mean,
my favorite album is Folklore. My favorite song off that album is probably August.
Why does he sound like a robot?
He loves Taylor Swift.
No, which is fine, but why does he's my favorite album, Folklore, favorite song. I mean, why does he sound like that?
It's because he's so relaxed, Dave. He's just so relaxed. This is what happens when you take that, you know, you go to darkness retreats and you really get in touch with the inner you.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, because you have no interest in spirituality or...
None.
Any of
Zero.
That
Zero.
If I promised you, how about this? If I promised you that you and I go to this darkness retreat four days and we pop out
four days, we pop out of that thing
and instantly we're at peace, we feel great, would you do it? You have to, right?
How long does it last for?
Forever.
I feel great forever?
Yeah, like uses like the sense of enlightenment.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, absolutely, I would go.
I think I would do it too.
But I mean, RJ, you think that works on me? You think we go to a darkness retreat and I come out a different person?
I think you come out annoyed, actually. Because you'd probably miss something.
Well, we wouldn't go over like a football weekend.
No, but you'd still miss news, something.
They can't feed you news, though?
No.
Well, why? I mean, if it's in the dark through like the peephole?
There's no peephole.
How do they get the food in? If the guy that you know gives you the food also
slot
says,
for the tray. That's
by the
it.
Way, Mets have acquired, you know, whoever.
No, it's not a news dump, it's for food.
No, that's
but they can it's like solitary. They can let you know what's happening.
Are you really cleansing your mind though if you're worried about what's going on out there?
Yeah, that's not helping you. That defeats the entire purpose.
I think 6 hours in you become unbearable and get kicked out.
How could you be kicked out? You're in an isolated apartment.
Yeah, Rick would kick you out.
We're not going to be together.
Says who?
We're going to be in... There's no way I want to be trapped in a room for 4 days where I can't see anything with you.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
We come all together. The show has never been better.
No. We go in our own unit.
You don't want to talk for 4 days?
No.
That would be nice.
No. That's the whole point. You're supposed to be sitting there in silence.
Yeah, but you can't, though. That's the problem. I mean, we might as well just lock you in your basement and shut the lights off and then just feed you sports information. It would be the same thing.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but that's not the point of this.
I'll do it. We'll go over like the Major League Baseball All-Star break when it's really a quiet time in sports.
I don't believe you.
If you guarantee...
I mean, a big game.
I won't go because I don't think it would work with me. But if you guaranteed I'd have enlightenment and it would change my life, absolutely I would go.
How long would that last, though? Let's be honest.
That he says it would last forever.
Well, I had to promise it would last forever to get you there.
Then I'm in.
I think it'd be nice as a show if we did it. Like a little retreat.
I can't get you guys to agree to go out for breakfast after the show. Now you want to go on a
four-day
darkness retreat?
Well, no, but it's different. When you go on the darkness retreat, you go on on some kind of retreat, you have no responsibilities. You're signing up to rid yourself of all the responsibilities. I'm signing up for that. I decide Wednesday to stay in the city for an extra 4 hours.
Oh my God.
I'm ignoring all my other responsibilities.
All right. This portion of the show, Mr. Responsible, is driven by the All American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. Yankees have been playing excellent baseball as of late. The Orioles got the best of them in this set. They took 2 out of 3. Gibson was really, really good yesterday. Yankees bats were dormant. And they get out of Dodge with a 2-1 series win and a 3-1 win last night.
Yeah, and they have been scoring a ton of runs, right? I mean, over this last little stretch, they've been scoring a bunch of runs. I think headed into that game, their previous 6 games, they had, you know, 2 or more home runs in those 6 games. So they faced a pitcher that shut them down, and they end up losing. But I didn't realize this. You realize since April 10th, the Yankees are 11-1-1 in their series?
No. This is their one loss in the last 13 series?
Yeah.
Wow. No, I did not. And all that being said, we'll get calls today of like, oh God, what's happening?
Which is crazy. I mean, it really is. I mean, you should take the positive. Clark Schmidt pitched well.
Very well last night. Very well. Yeah, he only allowed three runs, right?
Unfortunately, the bullpen again. That's back-to-back games with the bullpen.
How many balls at first base were they going to drop last night?
They dropped two.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Anthony Rizzo was not happy about the second one. You're going to lose baseball games. I mean, it's Baltimore. I get it.
They're good.
This is not the same Baltimore team. This is a good Baltimore team. And I think you were spot on when you said it. They lost two out of three. They could have lost two out of three in a different way, too, right? I mean, the game that they came back and won as opposed to the one that they had the lead in dropped.
They should have lost game one, won game two, and lost last night.
This Baltimore team is interesting.
They're a dangerous team, and they're young, and they're hungry, and they're good, and they're talented, and they hit. And if they get and their bullpen is good, if they get good starting pitching, they're going to be here all year.
Yeah, this is. I mean, it's probably a little bit early. I think definitely early. I don't know how many people expected them to have this start to the season, but I mean, this is what happens. This is how it's supposed to happen. This is how you write it out. This is how you draw it up, right? Like if you're of the mindset we're going to be bad for a little bit just to build ourselves up. This is eventually what you hope to have happen. It's just this, like...
It's happened quickly, though.
It's like, happened quicker than people thought. But, yeah, I mean, if you get the right guys, if you pick the right players...
But don't you remember at the deadline last year, they kind of unloaded a lot of talented players and people freaked out in Baltimore of, like, how could you possibly do this? But you look at them now, it's like, they're good. They have a lot of offense. Their bullpen is good. That kid Cano out of the bullpen is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's good. He's got good stuff. And the Yankees, I mean, they had three hits last night.
No, I mean, Gibson was excellent.
I think they had two runners get to second base.
Which is wild. But the thing is, if you look at the numbers traditionally against Gibson, the Yankees have destroyed him.
Destroyed him, yeah.
So I'm just wondering what happened. Is he just different on Baltimore? Or the Yankees have an off night? Or is he better?
Well, I mean, he had, what was it, like 13 outs on the ground. Like, he executed what he was trying to execute. Like, I don't know. Like, some of that stuff is, I get what you're saying because it's not a, I mean, it's like, this is 10 starts against the Yankees. He had an ERA at almost 7. So, I mean, that's a pretty, pretty big sample size. It's probably just one of those, like, he goes with a game plan. I mean, has something that he wants to execute and goes out and does it.
He was lights out last night. Now, this is a conversation we can have often. Aaron Boone getting thrown out. How do you feel about that? Are you of the mindset of, you know what, Aaron, you have to keep your composure, not get thrown out, or are you of the mindset, I love that he does it because he's protecting his guys, and in the long term, this will help?
I love that he does it. I don't think he should have been thrown out last night. Like, remember, he didn't come out. He got thrown out first, and then is when he came out, and he lost his mind. Like, I think a lot of these umpires are just too sensitive, man. It's like they want the confrontation.
Well, I think they want it, and they want to kind of exhibit some of their control too, right?
The guy stunk. He wasn't good. And Aaron Boone was letting him know that he wasn't good, and then he kicks him out immediately. So then that's when Aaron came out, and he got his money's worth.
But you're never going to win that if you're Aaron Boone. If you go to an umpire and say you stink, and you're not allowed to argue balls and strikes anyway, and you're going after that, you're going to get thrown out of these games.
Right. And then, I mean, I don't think in that instance last night that he should have been, whatever he said, like wake up, whatever it was, shouldn't have been thrown out from the dugout. Like, that wasn't one of those moments. Like, if you come out and you're MFing the umpire and everything else, yeah, you're out. But it didn't feel like he should have been thrown out that quickly. Like, I understand here, like, he's trying to point out that, hey, you're missing calls here, you're missing strikes.
He's squeezing
my guy.
And he was.
I mean, poor Clark Schmidt had thrown 29 pitches in the first inning. I mean, and Volpe again, like, that's one thing that you got to keep an eye on a little bit. Defense hasn't been great, and he's, what, 4 for his last 34?
Yeah, he's in one right now. Let's take a listen. Here is Aaron Boone on being ejected from the game last night.
I went out there pretty calmly after I was thrown out. Again, I should not have been thrown out of that game. I was very calm, didn't do much at all. Gooch was holding me back and just telling me, so I didn't need to be restrained. I wasn't the dismissive attitude and walking away, I took exception to. So I really didn't have to be restrained. I was being restrained. He was keeping in front of me. Nothing bad was going to happen.
You imagine that? It's like you're restraining a guy from nothing.
Well, I think that he could probably feel the fact that, but listen, Aaron Boone's not going to do anything stupid, right, outside of getting his face and maybe, some spit ends up in the umpire's face. Like, he's not going to go try to fight the umpire.
No, of course not.
I can completely understand why the umpire turning his back to him and dismissing him like that would piss him off. Like, that's a trigger for a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tremendous sign of disrespect. The only thing you could say on the flip side is he's trying to just squash the issue, turn around, be done with it. I don't have this conversation.
Yeah, but
with you.
But here's the thing, though. But you already kicked that. That's the problem with this whole thing, though, and with umpires for me sometimes is you already kicked them out. And you're right when you say that that's a fight you're not going to win. But like, there has to be some latitude given to a manager or a player when you're not doing what you're supposed to do at your job. Like, if you stink at your job, like, I should be allowed to point out that you stink at your job.
Should you though?
Well, respectfully.
I mean, go out there and have a quiet, calm discussion, I guess. But
no,
point
but
that you stink at your job.
But he didn't. He got kicked out from the dugout. Like, I get it if you're yelling and screaming and swearing or you say something really nasty. Yeah, you could get kicked out. But if you're pointing out the fact, like, hey, like with Judge sometimes, and I'm not talking about when he comes out of the dugout and starts going at it. I mean, like, if from the dugout, you're saying, hey, whatever you're saying without, using the magic word, like dropping F-bombs and everything else, yeah, like, there has to be some latitude there. Can't just all of a sudden now a guy says something, points out that you're missing calls, and you kick him right out.
Well, this is a thing now, too. I wonder how in tune the umpires are with what goes on in other series, and they know that Aaron Boone is now, this is his thing, right? He's going to complain about balls and strikes a lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the fourth time he leads the league in ejections, and on top of that, it's his third ejection in the last 10 games.
Right. I mean, it just happened the other day.
I think the guys appreciate it because you're protecting your players. I just think that there's some umpire, like the umpires need to do a better job sometimes.
Umpiring is bad, so it's fun. And again, I don't want to compare youth baseball, like high level youth baseball to Major League Baseball. But the guy that runs, and it's funny, he gave a talk to all the parents the other day, runs Ben's program. We had like a preseason meeting, and parents asked about umpiring or something. He goes, listen, I go into every game with the assumption the umpiring is going to be bad. And then if it's decent, I'm pleasantly surprised. And I almost feel like Major League Baseball is similar to that. Like, umpiring is just not very good.
Here's the thing, though. I think this is the biggest problem for me with it. And you're not wrong. I mean, there's plenty of times, during an NHL game you watch it and you think the officiating stinks too. It's one of those things where...
And the NFL, it happens all the time.
Right, like if you don't notice them, they did a good job.
Exactly.
But the problem is that I feel like some of them, they have rabbit ears and that they want to have a confrontation. I think some of them feel like, if you say something to them, that you're being disrespectful and they hold themselves in this high regard, like, how dare you disrespect me? The reality of their situation, and I know their job is hard, is there's not one person that comes to a game to watch the umpire ump or the referee ref.
No, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. So, yeah, is it going to be tough sometimes when a manager or a player is telling you you stink? Yes, it is. And there's a line. The problem is that every umpire or referee's line is a little bit different.
That's correct. And there are some umpires that are, trigger happy and some that will give you a little more.
And the other problem is that there's some that just blatantly stink at their job and there's no repercussions for them because they keep work because they still have jobs. And it feels helpless because there's nothing you can do.
See Angel Hernandez, right? Oh. He's been awful forever and he just keeps getting run out there.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Oh, I know this voice. You know who this is. You don't know.
Hold on.
Listen closely. You hear this voice every morning.
I hear this voice every morning.
I'm not kidding. Every morning. At an early hour, you hear this voice.
I don't know who it is.
It's Johnny Grimmer. Johnny Grimmer wrote our open.
Oh, he did our open.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. This is him.
Nice.
Yeah, he's talented, huh?
Very good.
I'm impressed. Very impressed. He's got, I guess, a new album out.
I like it.
It's called Lottery, and it's out today on Spotify, Apple, and Amazon.
Nice.
Yeah, this is what we do. We promote our own.
Well, shouldn't we?
Of course we should. He took the time to write our open for us. We should absolutely take the time to give him the respect and courtesy of mentioning this new album. So congratulations for that. By the way, you had a terrible misstep. You didn't invite Debbie to the tailgate and the show next week?
I was supposed to do that?
Well, yeah, I think so.
No.
Why
would I do that?
Well, because you're, I mean, it's really your show. I'm just here to facilitate you.
Oh, no. Your name is on the show.
Well, now
it is. Oh, yeah.
Didn't start out on the show.
Well, it's because you have a cumbersome last name. It's
sorry. Let me blame my relatives and the history of my name.
There's a lot of people in show business that change their last name.
Why would I change my? It's not. But that's my last name. I'm going to change it.
Tighten up.
What do you want, David Roth?
Like Roth, Dave Berger.
No, Dave Berger.
Dave Berg.
No.
Dave Berger.
No, the name is Rothenberg. That's the name. It's not like you have some. It's not like your Rick Deep, DiPietro is. It's a cumbersome name.
What?
That'd be a great name.
It would be a great name.
Dickie Deep.
Yeah, Richard Deep.
I like that.
Yeah.
Maybe we switch the name to Deep and Burger.
You know what? He'd have to write a new open.
All right.
There you go.
Johnny gets to work.
Deep and Burger. It's got a ring to it.
It sounds
nice. Ring to it.
That should have been the name of the show.
So you didn't invite Debbie.
I thought that Debbie was invited. I just naturally thought that Debbie was invited by the people that set up the tailgate.
By the way, my son sends his best.
No, no.
His name is Brian, but his nickname, Knuckles.
All right. So in sincerity, Debbie, of course you're welcome. We'd love to see you. We'd love to have you for the event. So why don't you come do the traffic live at Publicans and then come with us for the tailgate and then come to the game with us? Love
at
that.
Least come to. Oh yeah, she should do this. She could come to Publicans, do it live.
Do live traffic.
Yeah, live traffic, and yeah,
right.
See, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. It's my own fault because I assumed, and you know what happens when you assume, right?
Yeah.
Especially with this company that they're having all these fancy meetings that they keep talking about. When we got yelled at for all the legalese and everything with these giveaways. Oh, we had these big important meetings with this guy and that guy. That this would have been something that they thought about, but
no.
Clearly not.
No.
So I'll take the blame. I'll hold the L for this one.
No, I think it's our fault. Debbie, we want you there. It would be better with you there. Let me just give you this little nugget, too. Less than a week away. We're 6 days away. June 1, you can hang with us all day long. If you don't know about this somehow, starting at 6 o'clock in the morning from Publicans in Manhasset for a special pregame broadcast and music from Randy and the Zoo. It's steps away from the Manhasset train station, LIRR. So we're going to walk over there after the show, take the train to Citi Field, and tailgate in Lot F before the afternoon game against the Dirty Phillies. And it's all brought to you by the New York Structural Steel Painting Contractors Association, the Window and Glass Dealers Association of New York, and Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. So there you go. It's all set. It's next week, and you should be there.
She definitely has to be there.
You know what else I'd like to invite to this?
Everybody?
No, yes, Dan Grasso.
Mayor Quimby.
Yeah, well, because I heard
Everybody!
Someone last week call his Saturday show and say, are you going to be at the tailgate? He's like, I wasn't really invited to it.
Stop it.
So, yes, Dan, of course we want you at the tailgate.
I mean, you have to be invited. He's one of those guys that has to be invited. He's a fill-in on the show.
Well, you know what? You say that, but I guess he's one of these sensitive types, and he needs, you know, a little coddling, and I'd like him to be there. Yes.
We all like a little reassurance every now and then.
Well, you know, I say you want you to be there, and you're like, I don't know if I'm going or not.
I don't.
Well, we could use, you know what else, Dan, would be useful there, too, to take pictures of all the cars parked, because he likes the parking lot.
Yeah, make sure everyone's parked properly. I get it.
So photos. If he gets himself into a good spot, he now takes a photo of it.
Yeah.
And he now disperses this on social media. What does he do with the photo?
No, he keeps it to look back, and it puts a smile on his face when he realizes how good a parking spot he got.
Like a memory. Now, is it the way he got the parking spot or just the actual spot? Like, if it's a nice parallel park, does that add?
It would have to, right? Like,
I don't know.
Bring back the. Well, I think if you took a picture of the spot, and then on top of that, you had a real positive parallel parking experience, it would bring back the memory.
I guess so. A positive parallel parking experience. All right, so. I don't agree with this, but I do respect the guy, so I think it's worthy of at least getting into. There's an article on ESPN.com ranking the best, worst 2023 NFL offseasons, which teams improved the most, okay? Now, Bill Barnwell put it out, and it's two parts. So you only see like 16 to 32 or 17 to 32, and then today will be 1 to 16. Do you know where the Giants rank on this, what they did this offseason?
Well, you tease it as terribly,
and I'm honestly shocked and stunned by this ranking. Do you know or do you not know?
Well, I know because I saw it because it was an RJ's premature look ahead.
Okay, so then let me just tell you honestly, I think Barnwell is excellent, and I don't think, and you can correct me if you honestly believe I'm wrong. I don't think this is Homer Dave. He looks at the Giants having had the 29th of 32 teams' best or worst offseason? That's nuts.
Well, did you read all of the reasons why?
Yeah. I read the reasons why, but I think it's terrible. I really do. I think the Giants had a terrific offseason.
Yeah, I didn't think they had them 29th. Like, I thought they had a really productive offseason. Thought they had a good draft. But, I mean, he takes more than that into it. Like, he also takes into account the fact that they were, you know, 8-4-1 in one-score games.
Well, that's two different things, no?
Well, I think that's something, but I think it's what he, I mean, I think a lot of people look at that. Just like they look at Minnesota and what Minnesota was in one-score games. And always have this thing before a season starts where which teams kind of pull back. Teams that were playoff teams, which teams, because it happens every year. Teams that make the playoffs don't, and there'll be other teams that fill those spots. And I think there's a lot of people that I've heard recently that have pointed to the Giants as being one of those teams.
But I don't disagree with that. I think that makes a lot of sense. The Giants were, what, like 8-4 in one
eight,
score
four
game?
8-4-1.
Right, 8-4. Yeah. 8-4-1 in one score. All right, they tied the one game. So it's like, okay, that's fine. If you want to have that take that the Giants could take a step back record-wise, I think that's more than fair. In fact, I think they probably will, right? What were they, 9-7-1 last year? So I think the Giants are going to go 10-7 or better. That's a big season, especially with the schedule they have, especially with the good fortune they had in close games. But that's different than saying that they didn't have a good offseason. Why couldn't both be true? They can take a step back, and this is what I think is very fair. They can take a step back. I think, in fact, they probably will, and yet they still had a good offseason. Why does it have to be, you know, one and the same?
Oh, because you're doing a list, and as far as Bill Barnwell is concerned, the moves that were made, including probably the biggest one, which was giving Daniel Jones all that money, and he breaks it down as to how many times a game he threw the ball, average distance of his throws and everything else, thinks that you're probably overpaid, unless, of course, Daniel Jones goes out and has a really good season. From what he saw last year, he feels like they paid him too much money. He feels like they also paid Okereke too much money. And with Wandell coming back from the knee, and Waller having injury concerns. Like, he points to a bunch of different things. Points out the fact that last year the Giants were ranked 21st in DVOA, and the reason why they won the playoff game, because guess who was worse DVOA? Minnesota, one of the worst. Which is the way how they calculate how each play is more or less successful than the league average. So, I mean, there's a bunch of different reasons why. I don't feel the same way. I disagree with him.
Wholeheartedly. Listen, does Waller get hurt? Waller gets hurt. He's a legitimate upgrade. He's a very good tight end. When he's healthy, he's one of the best tight ends in football.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Listen, I'm not making a case that I believe that they have the 29th best offseason. I don't believe that.
So what he's telling me, some questions. Questions is fine, but what he's telling me is that of the 32 teams in the NFL, there are three teams that had worse offseasons than the Giants.
That's right.
Okay. I think that is lunacy.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
This is usually when you start to fade out Friday at like 8:45 to the end of the show, so really try to dig deep here, can you?
Well, it's funny. You see what I just did? I mean, look over to your left.
What'd you do?
You thought I was going to the bathroom? No. Coffee.
Smart.
Smart, because I knew you were going to say that, and I said, you know what?
Because it happens every week. And it's not just you. This is an RJ thing also.
Do not.
What?
And I'm telling you right now, RJ is on edge today. It's clear.
Why?
I don't know.
Is he stressed out about the three-day weekend?
No, I think RJ had plans for the three-day weekend that are now going to be all about making sure that the nesting of the home is fully taken care of.
Well, it's getting down to it now.
Yeah,
so
he's down to 4 weeks, the nitty-gritty now. I mean, really, in actuality, she could walk into the room at any point and say, RJ, it's time.
Nah, it's a little, they usually go, when your first one
I know, the first
late.
One typically goes late, but it could happen.
Yeah, it could, but I think RJ is, RJ, have you been doing the classes?
What, the breathing classes?
Yeah, the Lamaze classes.
Did you do any Lamaze at all?
We've had a briefing. I wouldn't say regularly, no. No, it's
so
not.
You don't have the breathing experience down.
Well, listen, I bring it up. I say, if Ange wants to go, she says she's, you know, maybe next week. So I go off her schedule.
Very flippant about this. But by the way, is there going to be an epidural involved?
Maybe.
No, not maybe.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy, not maybe.
I don't get involved in these things.
No, well, get involved with this one. I promise you.
Yeah.
Get involved with this one.
You push the epidural.
Immediately. Yeah. Tell you'll get one too.
That's not true though.
Yeah, well, if you have to get one, get
you
one.
You know what? You tell your back's bothering you as well. You get group epidurals.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm fully supportive of whichever way she wants to take it.
No. See, he doesn't get it. You're not supportive of her not getting the epidural because she's going to be in agony. Do you want to see the woman you love in agony?
Why are you yelling at me?
I'm not yelling.
You're going to get yelled at soon.
I'm talking to you as a friend.
It's not going well.
For who?
For you soon.
What do you mean it's not going well for me?
Because.
Rick, I'm trying to give him advice. What am I doing wrong?
She's going to do what she wants to do. That will be how it goes.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, if she does it au natural, enjoy.
Not going to be a great experience.
Listen, that's
the
probably not
changes everything.
It's probably not what we'll do, but I'm just saying if that's the way
it's on the table.
Yeah, I think me and Dave are just recommending maybe if there's some thought as to, hey, you know, maybe I won't do this. You kind of give her the, you know what, maybe you should.
Maybe you should.
Be nice for everybody.
Do you want to calmly birth this child, or you want to feel like a demon is?
I told you the first, I think it was Milo. So Milo, we went in. And Cass was hell-bent on, like, she wasn't going to do the epidural, this whole thing. So she's in there. She's in agony. And down the hall, you can hear just you screaming. And she's like, now I can tell in her face that she's starting to get a little bit nervous because she's in so much pain.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, listen, I mean, we still have time if it's something that you want to do. She's like, no, I'm fine. Then all of a sudden, like, 15 minutes go by, and she's like, you know what, I got to do it. I got to get the epidural. I'm like, good idea, let's do it. So guy comes in to give her the epidural, and the second it's in and functioning. Like everything changes, like her, like just her whole.
Yeah, of course.
All of it, right? Like the pain goes away. And then meanwhile, I'm like kind of in the corner, like just staying out of the way, right? It's a big deal. It's, I mean, it's kind of a little scary. So I'm off to the side, just trying to mind my own business. And then the guy who administered the epidural looks over at me and kind of looked at me as if he like might recognize me, because I was like, but
what
I kind of like
guy. It's not just some man they found wandering the hospital, is it?
No, of course not.
I would imagine it's a doctor.
Okay, but it was a male, or it was a male doctor.
So the doctor that's administering the epidural.
Yeah. So he looks over and we kind of made eye contact, and I was like, oh, does maybe he recognize me? So I put my head down because I was kind of like just not real interested in getting into a conversation. And I forget what he said, but then out of nowhere, my wife, who was all hopped up on the epidural, was like, oh, don't let him fool you. He played in the NHL. Like, and she goes on like this whole thing.
She,
I was like,
exposed,
oh,
you?
No. Yeah, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and there you go.
What are you doing?
Yeah, the one salvo I would say is I would highly, highly recommend it. But RJ and Ange, do what makes you happy. All right, so the Giants check in at 29, which I think is comical, to be honest with you. I know you've seen it, so I'm not going to make you play a guessing game. The Jets check in at having the 23rd best offseason in the NFL. What is happening with this list?
I don't know what's happening with the list.
I mean, really?
I don't understand what else you would like the Jets to do. I mean, unless you're just not a big Aaron Rodgers fan and you don't think he's going to, or you gave up. I mean, part of the article is they gave up too much.
Fair enough, but that doesn't make it a bad offseason.
No, I don't think it's a bad offseason. I mean, they gave up a lot, but they gave up a lot to get what they think is a lot. Right? I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers. It's one of the great quarterbacks of all time, and I know he's 39 years old, and he's coming off a down season. But compared to what we had, I mean, you want to talk about upgrading a position. How much more could you upgrade a position?
You know what he doesn't like? I think he doesn't love Rodgers, to be honest with you, because he says he was 26th in QBR last year, wedging Rodgers firmly between Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson. For that privilege, they had to do the following: trade away their second-round pick, move down two spots, pay Rodgers more than any quarterback in NFL history, and hope Rodgers doesn't retire after 2023. It sounds to me like Bill Barnwell does not like the move and what they give up for Rodgers.
Right. And listen, I mean, I said it at the time, too, the whole pick swap thing. Well, I mean, did we need an offensive lineman? Yeah. I mean, if you watch the video, too, which is crazy, of the Jets, you had the Joe Shane one with Brian Daboll, they released the Jets one, and I was watching that, and Joe Douglas talks about the three players that they liked at that spot. And then, of course, he goes, watch, someone's going to trade up with New England and take the offensive line, take Broderick Jones. And he goes, boom, Pittsburgh, there he goes, gone. So we end up with the pass rusher, which is fine. I mean, but I didn't like that at the time.
Well, I don't know. Listen, you might like the pass rusher. I think they had a misstep. They wanted and needed an offensive lineman.
Right. So, I mean, that could be a negative. Like, if you wanted to point to negatives this offseason. You know, originally, if you didn't swap picks, you would have had Broderick Jones. But because you did, you didn't get him. You ended up with Will McDonald, and we'll see, you know, how he fits, the kind of impact that he has. But you're right. You needed an offensive lineman. But my question to Bill Barnwell would be, like, if you have a position of need, if there's a position of weakness on your team that you're looking to upgrade, how could you upgrade a position more than the Jets upgraded their position of need?
I mean, I guess you could have brought in Patrick Mahomes, right?
No, there was a possibility is what I mean.
There was a possibility, Lamar Jackson. Other than that, yeah, probably not. I don't think you could have.
And it wasn't going to be cheap. It was going to cost you. It was going to cost you financially, which is something that he points to. And it was going to cost you compensation to bring him in here.
Of course it was. Listen, he is one of the faces of the NFL who the Jets believe, and a lot of people believe, is still at a very elite level. If he's at that level, you almost can't pay too much, right? If you win the whole thing, do you even care what you gave up to get him?
No, and I'm sure right now they probably don't care either when you start looking at what season ticket sales have done and everything else.
Ticket sales, they're on a million primetime games. Have they announced Hard Knocks yet?
No, not yet.
What do we, I mean, they're going to have to start filming soon.
Yeah, maybe the Jets are saying, no, we don't want it.
Oh, God, no, they can't say
that. I haven't heard anything yet. RJ, Ray, have you heard anything about Hard Knocks yet?
Not a thing.
They do the midseason one, maybe?
Next week
they announce it?
No, I'm saying it's June next week.
It's going to be here before you know it. Maybe they've already decided, and the announcement just has to be made.
Well, the Jets are doing their own behind, but like most of these teams do, their own behind the scenes.
I've seen this. Yeah.
Yeah.
But as far as hard knocks, nothing.
Here's the other thing, though, too, that you can't really put a price tag on, and you're hearing this already coming out of the OTAs, is how he's changed the standard, and you know how like when you bring someone in that's won a championship or someone that's at that level, it changes everything in the building, like what the expectations are, what the expectations should be for how things are done.
Yeah, he's changed the narrative around this organization.
But I also think it changes what the expectations are for the players and how they should do things.
They're going to be held to a higher standard,
which I think will carry on after Aaron Rodgers is gone, hopefully.
Well, if you get that, if it changes kind of the narrative of the organization, that's a big win on levels you might not even anticipate right now.
Well, what do you think it does for the team, though, too?
I mean, it changes everything.
Well, but if they're sitting there preaching you that we're going to do whatever it takes, we want you as players to do whatever it takes to win, and then you come back into the season with Zach Wilson as the quarterback, and they're not doing everything they can.
You lost the locker room last year when you tried to play Zach Wilson. Can we go to a call?
Oh, we can do whatever you want.
Let's do it quickly. Let's go to Brian in the Bronx. Brian, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. RJ, please listen to these guys do the epidural. It's quite necessary. And also, the one thing you could be selfish about is get yourself the fattest sandwich you can get. Because I had to do 28 hours, and I was eating cheese and crackers for 28 hours. It did not prepare well.
28 hours.
Get yourself a sandwich.
I ate so many graham crackers. So good.
they're meant for the patients. Brian, go ahead with the Jets.
I kind of agree with this list. I'm not going to blame the Jets because I think the Steelers got our guy, but offensive line was abysmal last year and they only addressed it with a second round pick. I think they needed to add to this offensive line because now we're banking on Mekhi Becton, who obviously we know now he's not very happy with the Jets, and he's unproven. So I think the list is, and we haven't signed Quinnen Williams yet. So if we're talking about offseason to date.
Brian, you're going to sign. Listen, I didn't like the fact that we got jumped up by Pittsburgh when we had with the pick swap. I agree with you 100%. But as far as the offensive line is concerned, you got Dwayne Brown. Hopefully he can stay healthy. I know he's older. But you also remember, AVT came back, and AVT showed last year he's capable of playing tackle. So, God forbid, but Kai Becton doesn't work and Dwayne Brown gets hurt, you could still take Tippmann, who's supposed to be the center, and move him to guard and move AVT to tackle if you have to.
And they play, McGovern at center?
And McGovern will be the center.
Right. Yeah, it's a possibility. I will say this, and we got a break, but I will say this. Offensive line is something that you're very aware of with the Jets.
Of course.
Yeah,
and it's probably the most important thing.
Yeah, and it's very uncertain. So we will monitor that as the season gets rolling.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Do you have an issue with Aaron Boone getting thrown out again? You said 30 times since he's taken the job with the Yankees.
Yeah, 30 times. It's his fourth time this season, leads Major League Baseball. I don't have a problem with it. I don't. And I don't think he should have been thrown out last night.
And neither does he.
Well, here's the problem, though, Dave. You got to think about this. I had this happen to me a lot in my career. There are some referees, there are some umpires that have they get a chip on their shoulder, like this like inferiority complex that they're not getting treated with the proper amount of respect. And they're probably not wrong. They're not. I mean, they're probably not wrong because it's like, I mean, the feeling is go out and do your job because no one is here to see you. But I don't know what he said. I just didn't feel like in that moment from the dugout he had said enough to be tossed.
I would have to think that if you are a Yankee, like if you're Clark Schmidt, that your manager, the guy that represents the team is going to bat for you, or you're Aaron Judge and he goes screaming and yelling and making a scene. I have to think that the players, and maybe I'm wrong, would really appreciate that. And look at that and say, wait, we have our, he's got our back. He's always got our back. I'm going to go out and have his back.
Of course. Well, I mean, you want to play for a guy like that. I mean, that's one of the most important things a manager or a coach can do is earn that trust from his players. Trust that I have your best interests at heart. Like that relationship has to be the first relationship that's built. I mean, Clark Schmidt can't argue with the umpire because Clark Schmidt can't get kicked out.
Well, then he
Clark
gets Schmidt, tossed.
Right, he's going to get tossed, or he's going
to
get squeezed. He's
going to get bullpen.
Yeah, right, or he's going to get squeezed more. So, I mean, what would you rather have? Aaron Boone bring it up and be the one that gets kicked out, or one of the players get kicked out?
Here is Booney. He was asked, do you think you'll be suspended from your antics?
I hope not.
That was the spit. They were worried because he had some little spit came up.
Yeah, but you can't get suspended for accidental spit, can you?
I don't think so. No, I don't think he's going to be suspended. But there was, like, you remember the umpire wiped his face and said, you'd spit in my face.
Well, but that happens. Sometimes you get close and have a contested conversation with someone and the spittle comes out.
Yeah.
Now, if you're Keandre Miller, you spit on someone, that's different.
That's much different, yeah.
That's not okay. But if you're talking and spit flies, I mean, that happens sometimes.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. I like it, and if he was my manager or coach, I would love it.
Would you, I mean, can you play harder for him? I mean, you would do everything within your power to be the best version of yourself, being that he does what he does for you, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Raymond, I don't want to cut you short. I want you to have plenty of leeway, plenty of runway. Have at it. Plays of the week.
These.
Who's the baby now?
I'm the baby.
I only sit when I pee at home. God bless you.
Are the plays of the week.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Happy Friday. As you all know, RJ began this week working from home, dealing with a little bit of the COVID. So I was here in the studio by myself, even though RJ was helping out immensely. Still couldn't get a lot of this done without him. But the nice thing about Monday for you, Dave and Rick, was that RJ couldn't really respond in real time to the little shots for him. So I feel like you guys went a little free on Monday and Tuesday.
What exactly is a little bit of the COVID that RJ was dealing with?
Well, what would you like me to say?
Just a touch of the COVID?
RJ had COVID, and he was working from home on Monday and Tuesday.
RJ was never, like, you know, very sick. He probably could, if it wasn't for regulations, he probably could have come to work.
No, but he didn't have a little COVID. You're not a little pregnant. You either have COVID or you don't have COVID.
It's like you have some money or not.
Give me all your money!
Anyway. Carmelo Anthony announced his retirement on Monday at the end of the show. Got to react to that a little bit going into Tuesday. And Tuesday night, LeBron James managed to hijack the narrative and make us all question whether or not he's retiring. For what it's worth, everyone thinks he'll be back, and he still wants to play with Bronny. Tuesday, also was discovered that Taylor Swift is, in Dave's words, a dirty Phillies fan.
Not my words. She said she's an Eagles fan.
But you said dirty.
Well, I think it goes hand in hand. You root for the Eagles. Now, all of a sudden, you're on Kemp. You're dirty, yes.
Also, in the musical world, I learned who Jelly Roll is. It's got some decent music out there. Not bad.
It was decent, but I can't get over the face tattoos.
We learned a little bit about Dave's other bad habits involving his hands.
You know what? I speak with my hands. They're visual weapons is what they are.
And they're also very worn down because of the nail biting that he does.
It's gross. Sick at this point. It's replacing the gambling.
You guys have worked with me for years. You just noticed that I bite my nails?
I never really looked at your nails, no. Uh-huh. Can't say that I did. Well, somehow Tuesday also became the start of the mulching conversation.
Master mulcher?
And that's where we got that drop, which I enjoyed.
I am a master mulcher.
You are. How many bags?
140.
140. Yeesh.
Well, they'd be really see a guinea pig walking through those doors, huh?
I got a discount there. I got the sale.
Can we offer? Well, would you like 10 bags? No, I'll take 140. We got a fool in the store.
Wednesday. Congratulations, Anthony Volpe, on your first walk-off. How'd that feel?
I don't know if it's really hit me, but yeah, it's definitely one of the best feelings I've ever had.
How's Aaron Rodgers feeling?
I just tweaked my calf and... It's good photos there. Just tweaked my calf in the little pre-practice conditioning, so I decided to take a vet day.
Mm-hmm. Rick, that's, again, the reminder the sports gods are telling you, do not be cocky, because you're feeling yourself a little bit too much these
I'll
days.
Feel myself. I smack you around in week two.
You did all sorts of things to yourself, like...
So finally I jump in, put it in park, peed all over myself.
And the car.
In the bushes.
Great story. This is easily the best show for stories in any format, anywhere.
Wow.
I mean what I say.
That's nice.
Thursday, we got Rick's Fakakta quarterback list, courtesy of Pro Football Focus, I suppose, where Kirk Cousins is somehow ranked number 9. Like I said on Thursday, you know, we got some good mileage out of it. So, you know, it was mission accomplished. I think it was better than Dave's list that day. So, there's that.
I didn't do a list the same day.
Dave had some nice things on Thursday.
I have a nice can.
Mm-hmm. He also reads nice tweets.
I got a nice tweet.
Yeah?
From Chewy91. Says, get rid of this whiny crybaby Ray. Dak is a bum. Will never win an argument, let alone a championship.
Was that a nice tweet, do you feel?
That doesn't seem like a nice tweet.
Did I say it's a nice tweet?
You definitely did. Nicest tweet in the history of the show.
It was
right
a lovely
there.
Tweet, yeah.
You mocked me for so leaving good. The show early, the ball game actually, and you coming to the show at 5:57 almost gave a hot coffee lawsuit to Rick by spilling hot tea all over his lap, so that's good.
It was great.
At least I didn't show up late, like you left early.
Mm-hmm. Rick wants to do an extra hour of the show, doesn't want to do for brunch. I get it. I understand. Friday, Dave again roasting the food service industry, showing you how he feels about all of you out there, and we got fake names for the show, such as Deep Burger. Great week of programs. Happy nice. Memorial Day, boys!
Happy Memorial Day. You're not supposed to say that, but I hope you have a safe, terrific, family-friendly Memorial Day weekend. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, play like a champion. It's DPH or Rothenberg and...
Everybody!
98.7 ESPN.
I have a nice can.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.